Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, used EVs on Amazon, Hyundai's Ioniq 3, and Tesla offers a new rental service. Plus, stay tuned later in the show. I'll tell you about Nissan's answer to a new Renault Twingo. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is the weekend, Sunday, 24th of August. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Patreon supporters fund the show, get the episodes ad-free as soon as they're ready, and be part of the EV News Daily community. Click on a link in the show notes to find out if you'd like to join the gang. Well, Hertz is now selling used electric vehicles on Amazon Autos, starting with the Chevrolet Bolt EV in Seattle. Prices start at $16,500 for high-mileage cars to about $20,000 for low-mileage versions, but that doesn't include extra fees and taxes. For example, that 20 grand Bolt EV is actually a $22,000 vehicle once the dealer and government charges are added. At launch, buyers within 75 miles of Dallas, Houston, LA, and Seattle can use the service. All fees are shown up front. Cancellation before pickup is free, and test drives can be scheduled before you pay. Financing and full payment options are available. Hertz plans to offer more car models, offloading their Teslas and Polestars through Amazon Autos as the program expands to all 45 US locations. Currently, Hertz lists about 300 used EVs for sales, mostly Bolts, actually. Over 100 Niro EVs. Some Volvo, Subaru, and Hyundai models in there as well. The partnership expands Amazon's new certified pre-owned and used car sales business on their Amazon Autos site. Would you fancy an old Hertz rental in your driveway? If the price was right, people don't treat rental cars very well. So it'd have to be a stunning deal. Now, Hyundai is launching the Ioniq 3, showing a close-to-production version at the Munich Motor Show in a couple of weeks' time. The Ioniq 3 sits between the entry-level Insta and the more compact Kona Electric, which is, well, I've owned one, getting a little long in the tooth right now, being slightly smaller than a Kona, but with more advanced tech than the Insta. Hyundai positions it to attract buyers who want something more refined than the cheapest of cheap EVs, but still affordable. Shoppers can pick between two battery sizes, as is the done thing at Hyundai Kia, 58.3 or 81.4 kilowatt hours. So on a small vehicle, that's 365 miles, plus or minus, of range. Front wheel drive, 400 volt version of eGMP, that's the platform on which it sits, making the car less expensive to build and sell you. Means charging isn't as fast as Hyundai's 800 volt EVs, but if you don't need that, if you aren't road tripping, or if you are road tripping and don't mind waiting, Ioniq 3 could be for you. 8 seconds 0 to 60 gives you an idea of what kind of vehicle, small vehicle, this is. Inside, Hyundai's latest infotainment system, so Apple CarPlay, a customizable interface, new EV sound effects, and this should come with Apple CarPlay Ultra, which is, well, it's really interesting because the only way to get one of those, isn't it, to buy an Aston Martin or a Bentley? It's a very expensive car, is the first one with Apple CarPlay Ultra. So when Ioniq 3 arrives with Apple CarPlay Ultra, which takes over the entire dash, by the way, the instrument cluster in front of you, the infotainment screen, it's all Apple, and it's meant to be very, very good as well. This is an affordable way to get that. Hyundai's got their own operating system to roll out in this as well, called Playos. You can update, unlock, you can personalize your car as well. It'll be built in Turkey and following a strategy that boosted their European sales by making them locally. Launching the Insta and Ioniq 3 together shows that Hyundai wants to grow, not only in the premium segments, but the budget ones as well. Should be available early next year. So looking forward to its official launch and then an early 2026 debut. Now, getting your Tesla repaired just got a little easier at select service and collision centres. Tesla is now offering its own in-house car rental. It's $45 a day, targeting owners that don't have a loaner during out-of-warranty or collision repairs. This move helps fill the gap for drivers who otherwise pay for third-party rentals. Tesla is also improving the customer experience at the locations. Customers can now browse and buy things like, well, all-weather mats and pet liners while you're in the waiting area, And you can take them home, no shipping. More snacks and drinks, they say, will be stocked and offered. On the product side, a reminder that Tesla introducing the large six-seat Model Y L in China. More news today suggesting it won't come to America. And if it does, it would be late next year. Elon Musk is still pushing, obviously, cyber cab and robo-taxi and robots as the future of the company. I think, actually, a Model Y L, a proper three-row Model Y, with actually room in the back for a third row, you know, for people with legs. Well, I think that would sell very well. But what do I know? Now, looking at the federal tax credit, that just got easier for US buyers. I've been talking a little bit about this recently. The IRS has confirmed if you sign a binding contract and make a payment, like a deposit or a trade-in, before the end of next month, September 30th, that it qualifies you for the federal tax credit, including if the vehicle arrives literally in your driveway after the deadline. And that is both for the new vehicle clean, the new clean vehicle credit, so $7,500, or the used one for $4,000 as well, and the commercial credit, which never gets talked about, of $7,500. That's a change on the old IRS rules, which meant you had to actually have it all done and dusted by close of business on 30th of September. The new act ends federal EV credits after September, though, and phases out the alternative fuel vehicle refueling credit by next June as well, and the energy efficiency credits for making your home more efficient. That all ends at the end of the year. With the sunsetting of incentives, California confirming that they're looking at their own subsidies and they'll match it. $7,500 for new, $4,000 for used. That's not confirmed, though. The proposals are on the table while they work out funding. Okay, Tesla is adding low power mode, and that turn signal retrofit is going down very well with the Tesla community. Tesla is adding a low power mode to help owners save battery when parked. This tackles the issue of energy loss from always on features like Sentry mode and Summon Standby. Instead of shutting down the car completely, low power mode leaves those basic functions running so owners can check or wake their car using the app. When turned on, it'll automatically switch off a high drain system, Sentry mode, keep climate, scheduled preconditioning would all get turned off, making long-term parking. So if you go to the airport for a couple of weeks and you think, oh, I didn't leave the car with enough state of charge, you can get the app open, put it into effectively a sleep state. Owners will be able to turn specific features on, but will get a warning if they try to use something that would increase the battery drain. Activation is coming to the Tesla app and the in-car display as well. And a battery threshold will probably be able to be enabled as well to enable low power mode automatically, a bit like your mobile phone. Separately in China, we've been talking about the retrofit, the physical left turn signal going back onto Model 3 cars for $350, including installation. And it does signalling, so it doesn't do the high beams or washer functions or anything like that. Tesla hasn't announced plans or the pricing for older Model 3s in China. And this update isn't available for other models or markets yet, but it seems to be going down very well. Tesla's service centres are starting to get more inquiries, according to reports, about, hey, can I come in and get my stock? No, not yet, but we'll wait and see. Now, ChargePoint is rolling out Omniport retrofits for its EV stations. Older charging stations can now work with every EV in North America, thanks to a new conversion kit from ChargePoint they're calling Omniport. Stations upgraded with the kit no longer require adapters, and any EV can plug in without worrying about a connector or an adapter. Until now, this all-in-one compatibility was only standard on the new stations produced by ChargePoint, but the kit brings the same benefit to any existing hardware. Omniport works with J3400 or NACS, a CCS1, and J1772. So you haven't got to figure out which plug to look for, or did I bring the correct adapter with me? Charging is made really simple. You choose your EV type in the ChargePoint app, and the right connector automatically comes out and charging begins. businesses can upgrade their stations by switching out the hardware and very little downtime, they say. This lets them support every new EV on the market, no matter what connector or socket it has, and future-proofs your charging site. So if you're a site owner and you want to get more cars there, they say you can be completely future-proofed by offering every type of connector to every type of EV driver. Right, stick around, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go down under and we'll talk about garage clutter. I know, on an EV podcast. Well, I'll fill you in on the details very soon. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, let's talk a little bit about a minivan, a plug-in hybrid from LEVC. So, Geely, the Chinese company, is the owner of the London taxi company, LEVC. And their minivan, the L380, is going to be coming to the UK next year and will add a plug-in hybrid version alongside electric. Now, in China, the electric L380 is sold at Galaxy dealerships, and that's had a big discount recently by about almost a third of the price after some slower sales prompted a price cut back in March. Now, LEVC was formerly known as the London Taxi Corporation. They started going EV with range extenders in 2017 with the original look of that black London cab. Production of the minivan, though, the L380, began last year. Deliveries in China began last summer, but they were only selling in the thousands of the units, hence the price cut and the look outside of China of where could we sell it. Well, the L380 is large. It's 5.3 meters long. It's 2 meters wide with a 3.2 meter wheelbase. That's 7 centimeters longer than a Mercedes-Benz V-Class. Get it as a six-seater, so 2 plus 2 plus 2, and an optional fourth row. This thing is so big. The standard rear wheel drive model has a 100 kilowatt hour battery. Higher trims add bigger batteries or dual motor all wheel drive setups, and a plug-in hybrid version has been spotted on Chinese roads, sharing the same shape but adding features like different wheels, different headlights, millimeter wave radar, and a big visible LiDAR sensor as well. This setup probably combines, you would think, the 1.5-litre engine that they use in some of their vehicles with two electric motors, and the plug-in hybrid version could be good if you do a lot of motorway runs and you're worried about charging and things like that. I wouldn't be, personally. 100-kilowatt-hour battery is probably all you need. Australia is next in the news. They're considering a new nationwide road user charge based on how far you drive. That seems very fair to me. Aiming to make sure that all road users, including those that drive electric, are funding road maintenance. That seems fair, does it not? It's the same as road tolls. People build a new road sometimes. You get it a lot in mainland Europe. Sometimes those roads are privately funded, or private capital comes in to fund a ring road, an extension, a bypass, and there's a toll on it because, well, somebody had to build it and it wasn't the state that did it. And so in Australia, they're looking at those that drive more would end up paying more. Right now, petrol and diesel vehicles pay a fuel tax, but electric vehicles pay nothing of any equivalent, which is causing fuel excise revenue to fall as people switch to clean cars. At a round table in Canberra, the Treasurer said there was strong support for a new charge, but whether it will apply to EVs or all vehicles isn't settled. Well, it should apply to all vehicles, shouldn't it? But then again, you shouldn't get charged any other taxes. It should just be a flat rate, because we shouldn't worry about how we power our vehicles. But if you are driving on the road, and maybe there's a weight thing as well, so maybe there's categories of weight, so obviously, heavier vehicles can cause more damage, and it's not a simple subject to get right, but it's doable. Victoria tried a road user charge in 2021, asking battery electric vehicle owners to pay almost 3 cents per kilometre, but the High Court said that only the federal government has the power to run schemes like that. Meanwhile, New South Wales has been developing its own plan with EVs at 2.5 cents per kilometre, and a bit less for plug-in hybrids. Now, federal and state leaders are working on national options, with the government options paper going to state treasurers maybe early September. Ideas on the table include a rollout for trucking first, and then maybe a phase-in after that. Okay, moving on. Now, most people focus on fast chargers for EVs, and that's absolutely right, because when you're on the road, maybe you got to get somewhere quickly, kids in the car, that kind of stuff. You don't want a queue for a charger, and you want your EV to charge quickly. And I totally get it. But as I remind people far too often on this show, home slow AC charging is not only far more important to talk about, it's far more important to focus on to make sure that we're doing it in the right way, that we're integrating with our home electricity, we're maybe adding some solar and storage at home if it's possible for you, but also people that can't charge at home, either apartment living or, you know, whatever, that we have that conversation properly so that everyone can go EV. We're really lucky, but we didn't have a driveway really until we moved into this house. We've lived a lot in a lot of urban areas, certainly when we lived in London. We parked outside our house, had a parking permit on the street, but it wasn't off-road. And so we need to have a good conversation about where our EVs are charged. And it's nearly all of it is overnight when it's slow. The challenge, though, for people that use their garages for storage rather than parking means that your home might not be set up for easy charging. Now, some news coming out today suggesting that if you had a clear out of your garage, the number of homes that would support EV charging would rise. So this seems to be some American research coming out today. The problem is that having the potential for home charging doesn't mean it's cheap or easy to set up. Many homes need electrical upgrades just for the outlets needed for level 2 charging. That can cost thousands. Multifamily homes in apartments and condos face more challenges. But what about somewhere obvious to charge your car? Well, it turns out that we're all using our garages to store our junk and leaving our cars outside. And so this suggests have a good old clear out this weekend. Make room for the car, and it'll be easier to charge your electric car when you do that. Okay. Thanks for the reminder, Mum. Now, let's finish up. My garage is a mess, and we don't store the car in the garage, as you know, of course not. Let's finish off by talking about Nissan's new electric city car. It will be called The Wave, launching in early 2027, and it's very closely related to the new Renault Twingo, not the old one, but the new one that's coming back. Both cars will be built in Slovenia at the Renault plant there. Many expected the Pixo name to return, but Nissan went with Wave, previously used for a trim level of the little Micra, but now it'll be a standalone nameplate on its own. Nissan is expanding its partnership with Renault. Like other recent models, the Wave and the Twingo will share platforms and technologies. The new Renault Twingo, which should come next spring, we think, and be well under 20 grand. If you look at the cars that are at the bottom end of the market here, Leap Motor T3, 14 grand. The Dacia Spring, 14 grand. And so that little Renault Twingo, unless it's super stylish, which the Renault 5 is, that's just over 20. So maybe this has got to fit somewhere around that sort of 15 to 20 grand price bracket. We think it'll be on the AMPR, Ampere small platform, and a little 63 kilowatt motor from the Geely Corporation, a little 30 kilowatt hour CATL battery. But on a small car, that is still fine. I've had two Renault Zoes over the years, and they're not massively small, but you can go quite a long way on a small battery. Also, mentioning the Dacia Spring, well, of course, Dacia is the cheap bit of Renault, and a cheaper Dacia version based on the same platform could also arrive as well. Nissan and Renault already make EVs together, like the Renault 5 and the Nissan Micra, taking advantage of shared investments. Love the expanding market in the cheap end of EVs. It's, I mean, maybe it's not for you, but it's so exciting because it's just opening up possibilities for so many people that they don't need a road tripper. They don't need an SUV. They haven't got kids, but they want reliable, affordable transport to get to their work or do what they need to do. And these cars tick so many boxes. Man, it's exciting. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.